Now, the making of a good compilation tape is a very subtle art. Many do's and don'ts. First of all, you're using someone else's poetry to express how you feel. This is a delicate thing. Those words came from the great film High Fidelity, a solid film from the 90s, and they sit at the heart of conversation on the show today. On the show today, we're chatting all about mixtapes. We're chatting all about music. We're chatting all about technology. We're chatting it all. And on this show, my two guests are Matt Sidholm and Samer Abel-Selby. And Matt and Samer are really like pioneers for the stuff that they're doing. They are the creators of the super awesome Mix, the app, an amazing app that helps you, that doesn't help you, it just does. It creates with you playlists. And by playlists, I mean mixtapes, because there's a difference between playlist and mixtape. So I stand correcting myself, because it's not playlists, it's mixtapes. And Samer and Matt are going to chat through the difference of mixtapes and playlists, and how the app also led to their incredible podcast, The Super Awesome Mix. We're going to get into all of that in just a minute, but before we do, and of course, if you're interested in donating to the Talkback, you know what to do. Head on over to GoFundMe.com/the Talkback, and you can make a donation there. I know the episodes have been a little sporadic lately. As you guys know, I was traveling a bit. I'm working on the New York Mystery Machine, which is a new weekly show. Like, subscribe, and all that jazz. So I've been a little sporadic with some of the talkbacks. I'm trying to get into a regular schedule, but it's been really hard to book time with guests and all that jazz. So I'm working my butt off. However, I will say that in the next week we are launching the Mystery Machines, New York Mystery Machines Patreon. And I'm going to be dropping that info on this show as well, because any subscribing that you do to that will also give you some benefits on the back end of the Talkback. So if you're a Talkback listener and you do want to make monthly donations to the Talkback, you can do that through the New York Mystery Machines Patreon, because obviously it's all going to make equipment happen for all the shows that I do. So I look forward to making that happen. In any case, I am excited to be back this week talking all about music. I'm so excited because I'm going to be on their podcast soon. Matt and Sam are having me on their show this week. And so make sure you look out for my episode on their show coming soon. But before we get into all of that, we are going to talk through music history, how they created this app, how they created their podcast, and why music is so important and why it unites us. I'm Adam Mace, and this is The Talkback. Hey, everybody, and welcome to The Talkback. As I said in the intro, I'm so excited today. Ooh, my mic is still loud. I can't wait to get a new microphone and mixer because things are being weird. But I'm so excited. I stumbled upon my guests on Instagram before we started recording. I was like, that's how you know your promotional ads are working, because people like me stumble upon them. And, you know, as someone who loved making mixes for people and for myself, when I was a kid, I literally was in my mom's house a few weeks ago, and I came across a whole container of mix CDs with the most random names on them. And so I had to have him on the show to talk through everything. So please welcome Matt Sidholm and Samer Abel-Selby.
Yes, thank you. Thanks so much for having us. It's awesome to be here.
Thanks for coming on. Yeah, I literally felt like I was having this conversation with a few colleagues, maybe I was about to say a few months ago, but I was like, oh no, it was like a year and a half ago, because, you know, COVID and everything.
The time warp of the last 18 months.
I was like, oh, yeah. that was a few months ago to have this conversation. But like, we're just talking about like, just, you know, mixed CDs, and like, and I think the closest that we get to that now is like Spotify playlists, but it still doesn't encompass what a mix CD or mixtape is, because it's final, right? Like,
right.
So, yes. I want to know about the show. I want to know about the app. I want to know about you guys. Where did you meet? And when did this all start coming about?
Yeah, we met, it's probably been close to 10 years ago now.
Yeah, I think 10 years.
Yeah, we were both in business school. We went to SMU Business School here in Dallas. And, I was actually working on another project, and we needed a programmer for that project. And Sammer, we were taking a class together.
Yes.
And, Sammer said he did some programming. So we started talking and he helped us out with that project and we became partners on that one. But all along, it was kind of funny. I think almost immediately when I found out he was a programmer, I was like, hey, I've got this other idea that I think could be something, right? Like, did you ever make mixtapes? And did you ever, like, I think this could be an app. And Sammer's like, yeah, okay, cool. Well, let's finish the project that we're working on now. and then maybe we'll talk about another project. And I'm like, okay, cool. Yeah. But let's not forget about that.
Don't forget about this. It's really good.
Yeah. And every like couple years, I would kind of remind him. I'm like, man, we got this other project. I know we could, this thing's going to take off. I'm telling you, this is the one. All the while, like we're trying to build this other business. And, that one never quite came together like we had hoped. We had some measure of success, but not huge success on that one. And then probably late last year, like amidst the pandemic, I had kind of started teaching myself programming because I was like, oh, maybe I can put this together. Maybe this isn't as hard as I think it is, right? And turns out I'm not a very good programmer. But then Sammer reached out and was like, hey, you know that mixtape thing you keep bringing up? Like, we should build that. And I was like, yes, finally. Okay, it sunk in. It took like a decade.
Yeah, but I was basically hearing that he was going to try to code it where I was like, okay, I can't let him code this. It will be a disaster.
I'm not gonna let you go through that.
Yeah, but
I get the urge. You know, it's COVID, so you're like, I don't know. I got some time in my hands. I can pick up a trade, like mixing, like coding.
It's so funny. Yeah, like he definitely came to me a lot with the idea, and we talked about it, hiring people to build it. And I was enthusiastic about it, but my whole thing. So I was a product manager before doing this full time. And the whole thing there is like focus, stay focused, stay focused. So I was trying to be like a good citizen of that. But then, yeah, I met someone, started dating through like Bumble, and like a lot of dating during COVID times, it was virtual to begin with. And one of the ways that we started to get to know each other was making each other mixes and sending, like playlists, right? Spotify playlists.
Oh, I love that.
And it's such a fun way to get to know someone, right? It's like, hey, like this is the music that is important to me. And we would send along like a PDF of notes that we wrote for every single song. And then like all of a sudden, all the dots connected of what that experience was and what that, that was missing from things like Spotify and Apple Music is, yeah, you can send a playlist, but to your point, it was, you can change it anytime. There weren't any notes to explain, like the story tell. And it was infinite, it could be like 11 hours of music, and there's just nothing special about being like, here's 11 hours of music I wanted to listen to. So all the dominoes fell on my head. And then that's when I was like, oh my God, I think we should build this. Cause it was again, during COVID, not only do we all have, a lot of us have extra time, but it was just that wanting to connect with people in like a new way, across digital, like the digital world, without being bound by geography. So it was really cool. That's kind of how it started.
I love that. I love that idea of dating during COVID, and like, yeah, because I agree. I remember so often, even with my friends, I remember I was at a bar maybe, oh gosh, it was probably like a decade ago, but whatever the case may be. And like, I was sitting with a friend who we had reconnected because I was directing one of her show, a one person show that she put together. And we were sitting at this bar drinking, and we're just like, what are your favorite songs? And like, we would just sit and we would just write down our if we had to choose in no order, 10 songs. And what about albums? And I just remember like the epiphany of what I learned about her through that. Just the idea of like, oh, why is that? And I love the fact that like on certainly on the app, that the idea of the whys, like why is this on this? And
yes. Mm-hmm.
And also it's not always that, and what I do love, and I'll let you guys chat more about it too, when you talk on the podcast with your guests, it's not always the of all times, it's just pick a theme and like tell, you know, bring us these songs that fit into this theme and why does this theme work for you? So the app came before the show then?
Yes.
Yeah, it was originally, well, this all started, my wife and I, when we were dating, I used to make her mix CDs and I would write notes and everything like that. And then as everything became digitized, and I give her credit for the idea because she kind of came to me and was like, well, how do I keep these if everything's on my phone? Like, what do I do with these now? And of course, I'm like, I'll invent something, right?
Fix it, I can problem solve that.
Hold on a minute. And so that's really where it came from, was my wife wanting a solution to like hold on to these things. And instead of having these CDs and sort of paper inserts that I had made for her before. But back then, yeah, it really wasn't, these are the greatest songs of all time. It was just songs that were meaningful to the both of us and songs that had some sort of meaning in one way, shape or form. So yeah, to your point, you know, there have been other shows, I think, out there that have done the what are your favorite songs of all time. Mm-hmm. I think we tried to differentiate ourselves and make it a little bit broader by just saying like, hey, here's a theme. Now, guest or just Samara and I, like, let's figure out songs that remind us of this particular theme. And so, yeah, it's never a complete list. And it's always fun when Samara puts something up on Instagram about a particular theme and we get so many comments and so many diverse opinions about it. But it's all in kind of a fun way. I think that's the other thing, is that music really does bring people together. We want it to be a real break from the rest of the world.
Yes.
What's going on right now, where everything's really contentious. I think if all we're arguing about is like our favorite Pearl Jam song, I think that's much more fun than, you know, some of the other arguments going on out there now.
Yeah, I love how you say that music really ties us together. I remember I went to a Billy Joel concert with my partner maybe last two Octobers ago, so before the pandemic, of course. I was like, it was just like last year. No, it wasn't, Adam. It wasn't. And she and I like scored, like someone I'd worked with was like, hey, I have two floor seats to Billy Joel, they're free, whoever. I was like, yes, we'll go. And I remember there was like a moment and where I was, you know, standing and people were singing, I'm looking around, I'm just like, there's just young people who are younger than me, and there's certainly old people who are much older than me. There's a lot of people from Long Island with a lot of old money. There's people from you know, the boroughs. There's certainly liberals like me, and there's certainly conservatives who, you know, and I just was like, but look at us all here. We're not talking politics. We're not talking all the things that divide us. We're just singing along to Piano Man, and like we're all like unified in this moment. And there's such a beauty in that.
I agree. No, it's so powerful. I think, you know, I miss that probably the most about concerts. I had that exact same experience every time I go to one, where you look around you and you're like, all of these people are different than me, and we're all here enjoying this. And like that, I think is like, there's like a handful of things in my mind that I always think of like humanity at its best. Mm. And I think like that's one of those, right? Like music and the arts and things that like bring those, you know, bring all of us together. Where all the lines are no longer drawn. And like, I think music is just one of those things. It's so powerful in that regard. And so, yeah, it's been so fun. Like, you know, going back a little bit, we started the app and then Madigan had, I think it was your idea to kind of be like, hey, well, why don't we do like a podcast where we make a mix and promote the app? And so I started with my Desert Island mix. It's just like, grabbed like the nearest microphone I had and we recorded an episode, didn't think anything of it. And we just got like such a really cool response to it. And, you know, thankfully it's been growing ever since. And we've had some really interesting guests, but it's always that, yeah, it's like, it's so cool because every single time we finish with a guest, after we hit stop, they immediately are like, that's like the most fun I've had in years. You know, like we always get that kind of response. I think it's such a universal thing. It's like, we just all love music. We all love the stories behind the songs that we pick. And that's been so rewarding to get to talk to all different kinds of people with very different music tastes and hear the why behind all of them.
Yeah, no, I love that. And you get that too from listening to this show. You can see how your guests are just like enjoying the fact that they're talking about these things that are so important important to them. And and also, yeah, I mean, I literally when I first saw, you know, I saw the podcast before the app. And so when I first saw the podcast, I was like, you know, you do take a minute and you look through like episodes of what people brought, you're like, all right, what would be my top?
Right.
You know, you sit there and you're like, I guess that would be. And it's also cool because like who I Adam in 2021 is not Adam in 2011. Like 10 years ago, I'm not. So it's also it must be super fascinating. You know, God willing that your show continues for like a decade where a guest gets to go, oh, I said that 10 years ago. That is not how I feel. I've changed. You know, I've evolved. But, you know, I've always felt that, you know, my profession, I'm a theater director and a writer. And a good friend of mine who's a dear friend and colleague, when I first met him, we were talking and he was like, do you know, I love the theater so much. And I was like, I don't know. It's great. It's fun. The art's amazing. You know, he goes, no, because it's the first time I ever saw a true equality because we a lot of people got into a theater and a lot of people were up in the mezzanine, up in the balcony. And there were some people with a lot of money in the orchestra, but regardless of where you were sitting, what you make, no matter what, when the lights would go down, we were all equal. We're all going to have the same experience.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, I get the same thing with music. I think about when artists write a song, how people, the poorest of the poor and the rich of the rich, can and will hear that song.
Yes.
It goes beyond finance and beyond economical, you know, resource.
Absolutely. Well, and I think also even in, like the other magic to it is like the experiencing of that song too. Like, you know, Matt, I tease him because his go-to always on every mix, like there's always going to be a Bruce Springsteen song in there. And you know, and I'd never really grown up listening to Bruce Springsteen. And so it's interesting too for us, we've both been introduced to other songs that like, either it was never in our world, in our radar, and you know, you hear it and like, we get to experience it now with like a very open mind and all of that. But then I find that like I'm adding meaning to these songs that I never knew of because they have meaning to Matt. And I thought, they have meaning to a guest that comes on. And even just hearing someone else's experience with a song changes your experience of that. And I think that that is so cool. So like, you know, you have a very diverse audience listening to it and their takeaways are completely different. And I just think that's so cool. It's so powerful about that.
Now, I know for myself, I mean, there's a lot of artists that I've either never heard of or maybe, you know, I know one or two songs and I'm like, you know, never got into anything further. But then, you know, you not only hear this other song that you've never heard from them, but also the story behind it. And Sam is right. Like, it really does kind of change everything in that sense. So, I mean, it's so fun, I know, for us to, whenever we get a new mix, it's like, all right, let's get into this. And it's, you know, I think we both have talked about not only listening to the mix, but then listening to, you know, either more songs from that catalog or the songs that inspired those artists or whatever. So we really kind of end up doing this deep dive, which is just fun for us. But I think it also helps make the show a little better because we just kind of enhance our own knowledge of what goes into that, what went into the making of some of those songs.
Yeah, and I appreciate that. You talk about how the influence on someone else affects your feelings about the song. A good example for me, like I'm someone who I don't listen to the current hits like a lot of people do.
Right.
I don't listen to the radio anymore because I just don't listen to the radio. There's other ways of listening to music. Yeah. So every now and then I'll pop, you know, if every now and then I'm either in a store or something and something's playing or, you know, my Spotify recommends something. But like, a few months ago, maybe like 6 months ago, I think Justin Bieber was on Saturday Night Live and he sang a song and I was like, oh my God, do I like Justin Bieber now? Cause this song is like fucking dope. Like I love this song. And I listened to it like on repeat, like 3-4 times. And like my partner, she was like, yeah, like Justin Bieber is really great. I like Justin Bieber now. Here, also listen to this one. And it's like, and now like Justin Bieber has a totally different meaning to me too, because like, I didn't really grow up in the Bieber experience. Like I didn't him from, I knew him, like I knew he had Baby when he was a kid and now I know him as an adult. I don't have that in the middle, but like there's a different experience because like I knew that it means something different to my partner. And for that, it makes me like, oh gosh, that, you know, if she wants me to listen to it, there's a reason why she wants me to listen to it. So I'm gonna listen to the song, you know? And I think that's true too. Like anytime a friend is like, Anytime I have a friend who I grew up with, and every now and then he'll send me an artist recommendation, and it's so random that I know I have to listen to it. You know what I mean? It's like when someone reaches out to me, I'm like, oh, there's a reason why he wants me to listen to that. You know, when I was in college, he was like, hey, there's this artist that you need to listen to. I think he's everything you like about old music and everything you like about new music. His name is Mika, and he's wonderful. And that's why I first listened to Mika, because my friend Anthony was like, listen to this. And now every time he comes out with a new album, we talk about it. And so I think it's interesting, the perception it puts on us.
I love that. I like really enjoy when someone introduces me to music. It's such a gift, because it's like, if it strikes a chord with you, to your point, then you've just opened up, like, you know, a runway for who, you know, however long, that is going to be full of new music all the time. And you know, you're going to like it because you're like, you got introduced to this artist. So, and it's really fun when you do that. Like, I find sometimes I feel like ashamed when I discover someone that everyone else knows about already.
Oh, there's my,
like,
God. Sammer, you don't even know. One day, listen to this world. One day, and it was recent, and by recent I mean like in the last, it wasn't this year, it may have been last year. It could have been the year before that, but it definitely was at least last year or the year before that, where I called my partner. I was like, hey, I have to ask you a question. Who's Lizzo? And I don't like listen to the radio. So like, it just doesn't come to my atmosphere. And she was like, you know who she is. I'm like, oh. And then like, she played one of her songs. Okay, I do know who she is, but I just didn't know her by name.
Yeah,
and,
right.
Like, but and that was the thing. It was like, it's so embarrassing. I was so embarrassed because, and then I told that story to like two of my friends, and they're like, how do you not know who, like, Lizzo is sensational. Everyone knows who Lizzo is. She's phenomenal. I know that. Like, I know her songs. I just didn't know who, I didn't connect that was who she was to the songs that she has. And now I know. But it was so embarrassing. So I get what you're feeling when it's like, I feel silly that I don't know this artist.
I know. I feel like it's happening a lot to me now, especially as I literally will put aside time now to just go and listen to new music, just so I'm like aware of it and can comment on it, which has been really fun. And it's like such a cool, like, rewarding, like, side thing about working on Super Awesome. But I will find something and be like, oh my God, like, I have to tell everyone about this person. They're so great. And it's like, no, everyone already knows. Like, you're the last ticket holder in line. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's where I have an 8-year-old daughter, and that's where it's been really helpful, because I would let her pick music in the car. And so it's usually like the new hits or whatever. And I'm like, I don't know who any of these people are, but I'm like kind of getting familiar with some of the more recent artists and what kids are into and things like that. So she does help me out in that sense. But yeah, there's a ton of artists over the last, I mean, and that's the fun part about doing the show, is we never know what we're going to get from some of the guests. And we always talk about how music is infinite. And you talked, you know, you referenced just a little while ago about doing the show for another 10 years. And I'm like, you know what? We're not going to run out of music. That's for sure. It's going to keep going for sure. And there's probably going to be some song from, you know, the year I graduated high school in 10 years that I'm like, man, how come I never heard this back then?
Yeah.
You know, why was this never on my radar? So yeah, it's a lot of fun.
But that's it too. Like, even like, I remember like the other night, we were just sitting in the backyard, just talking about, just listening to music and hanging out and drinking wine. And like a song came on. I didn't write down the name, but it's a song from like the 60s or 70s. I just don't know the name or the artist, but I know when it comes on, and I love the song. I can't tell you what it is right now, because I already forgot, because my brain just didn't do the math and put it into the long-term memory. But it's that thing where it's like, how do I not know this name? I know the artist and I know the song. I just don't know the name of it or the artist who sings it offhand. But it's that same thing where it's like, I know that song. That's been in the canon of music for a while. But like, yeah, it's, you're not going to run out of music, and you're not going to run out of people who want to talk about music. You know, I was so excited to have you guys on just to do that, to be like talking through music, because, you know, I also love too, I wanted to mention when you had said something earlier, Sarah, it's about dating. I think that's also such an intimate thing. Mm-hmm. Sharing a playlist with someone is so intimate, because songs hit us in different spots, and they're like usually attached to memory, to place and time. Like, when a song from the 90s hits on, I will, my body will, or 2000 or early 2000s, my body will go back there. I will remember the sight, the sound, the smell. I'll remember everything because it just transported me. And sometimes it's a good memory. You know, sometimes the bad memory, you know, every now and then, like if an album comes on, I'm like, ooh, this album's not good for me. I was going through something when this album came on and I don't like this album, but it was important to me. And I know every word to it because it was on the entire time.
No, it's true. They're like little time capsules. And
then that's a good phrase. They're a time capsule.
Like you open them and what you see is, like you said, it's either really positive or sometimes unfortunately it's really negative, but like all the feelings are there attached to it. It's really wild. To your point about how like intimate it is, I'm sure Matt, you had the same experience with your wife, but it's like, I remember putting together that mix for, you know, my now girlfriend, but I stressed like crazy over it, over every single song. I'm looking at lyrics. I'm like, I gotta make sure these lyrics aren't like suggesting anything too early or sometimes I found out like I wanted to put the song on that in my head was always just kind of like a lovey romantic song. And it turns out it's like about breaking up, you know? And it's like, but I'd always just the sound of it. I'm realizing we even did a mixtape on this was like so many times there's mismatch between like the sound of a song and the lyrics of the song. And so I've become like obsessive over like, okay, I really like the song and I want to send it to someone, but I want to make sure the message I'm sending isn't like, I hate your face, you know, like, even though it sounds really nice. It was so funny. Like that experience, I really stressed out. And then I sent it and I was like on edge of like, oh my God, she's listening to it right now. Oh my God, she hates it. She's not going to talk to me anymore. Why did I send this? It was a horrible idea.
Oh my gosh. Well, you know, it's easy to screw that. I always say, don't, you know, people, we always misjudge songs from like the 50s and 60s because they have the happiest breakup songs ever. It's like, I remember when I was in like a college choir, we were singing a song and the director like always picked some really cool, like six, we did different eras and we sang the song Bye Bye Love, where it's like, it's the most cheerful breakup song ever. It's like, there goes my baby with someone new. She sure looks happy. I sure am blue. But the refrain is so cheerful and peppy. It's like, why is this so happy? We've changed. Our breakup songs are a lot more depressing now.
Yes. Yeah, they really are.
Yeah, I think that's where, you know, that was part of the inspiration for the one mix we did where it was about kind of not necessarily misheard lyrics, but just sort of misunderstood songs and lyrics where I don't know at what point in my life I became kind of into that, but I always kind of dive into lyrics to be like, does this really like, are they trying to communicate what I think they're trying to communicate? Because the music and lyrics sometimes don't always jive. Although they work, you know, they'll work together and make a great song.
Right.
But not always in line with maybe the feeling it evokes.
Yeah. I always think about like a great example of that is Matchbox 20's 3 a.m. Mm-hmm. Where people are like, oh, what a great love song. Like, no, it's about his mom dying of cancer. We'd call him at 3 o'clock in the morning. It's like, it's so sad. And people are like, oh, it's such a great love song. It's not a love song at all. not at all. If your mom's dying of cancer, then it probably hits you in the right spot. But not about that.
Right. Yeah. Well, depending on what you think of your mom, right?
That's true. Oh my gosh. I want to take a quick break here. And when we come back, I want to talk a little bit more about the app and continue chatting just about music and all that fun stuff. So we'll be back in just a moment with Matt and Sammer. This episode of The Talk Back is sponsored by BetterHelp. Is there something interfering with your happiness or is something preventing you from achieving your goals? I know I'm someone who has dealt with anxiety. Well, BetterHelp will assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist. And get this, you can start communicating in under 48 hours. BetterHelp is not a crisis line, and it's not self-help. It's professional therapy done securely online. They offer a broad range of expertise, which may not be locally available in many areas. The service is available for clients worldwide, so you can log in from anywhere to your account at any time and send a message to your therapist. You'll get timely and thoughtful responses, plus you can schedule weekly video or phone sessions, so you won't ever have to sit in an uncomfortable waiting room as you do with traditional therapy. Not really vibing with your therapist? Well, BetterHelp is committed to facilitating great therapeutic matches, so they make it easy and free to change therapists if needed. It's more affordable than traditional offline therapy, and financial aid is available. BetterHelp wants you to start living a happier life today. Visit their website and read through many testimonials that are posted every single day. Be sure to use this special offer to get 10% off your first month. Visit betterhelp.com/thetalkback. That's betterhelp.com/thetalkback. And join the over 1 million people who have taken charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced professional. This chat is brought to you by Audible. Audible is the leading provider of spoken word entertainment and audiobooks, ranging from bestsellers to memoirs, news, business, and more. And now you can start your very own free trial by heading to www.audibletrial.com/thetalkback. Every month, members get one credit to pick any title from thousands of selections, plus two Audible originals and access to daily news digests such as the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal, and the Washington Post. Not to mention guided meditation programs. Audible allows you to download titles and listen offline anytime, anywhere. It's perfect for long trips or even cozy afternoons to yourself. The app is free and can be installed on all smartphones and tablets, and you can listen across devices without losing your spot. I just started listening to Becoming by Michelle Obama, and it's simply sensational. Plus, it's narrated by the former First Lady herself. Again, Audible isn't just audiobooks. They have podcasts, guided wellness programs, theatrical performances, A-list comedy, and exclusive Audible originals that you won't find anywhere else. To start your free 30-day trial, head to www.audibletrial.com/thetalkback. That's www.audibletrial.com/thetalkback. All right, we're back. I'm here with Matt and Samer. We're talking about music. We're talking about the awesome, I said it, how do I always keep, it's awesome, play the awesome mixtape.
Super awesome mix.
The super awesome mix. I'll edit it so that I don't say it wrong. We're talking all about the super awesome mix. So tell me a little bit more about the app. How does it work? What do people do? Chat us through.
Yeah, sure. So to begin with, today we support Apple Music. We're working on Spotify. That's actually our number one request, is that we want this field to work on Spotify. But really, it's like you load up the app, you connect it to your Apple Music account. You can, at its core, you're searching for songs to add to your mix. Just like a mixtape, we limit it to 75 minutes. So you really have to think about what song goes on there and what doesn't. You can rearrange them, of course. So, you know, you can think about your opener and your closing song. And then what's kind of, you know, the other important element is you can add notes, not only in the mix level, but also on the track level. So when you add a song, you can also have a little note field so that when someone is experiencing and receiving the mix, it's like, cool, you know, you opened up with a Bruce Springsteen song and here's why, here are the notes that, you know, that was written here. And then finally, like one of the last elements is you can set a cover. And we actually worked with some really talented illustrators to come up with all kind of like custom illustrations to go along with a mix so that it's all themed and all packaged together. So between like the title, the illustration, and then the tracks, we really just try to replicate kind of that old, you know, mixtape, but in a new digital medium with the app.
And the one in-app purchase we have is for 99 cents, you can add a little voice intro to the mix, so you can add your own voice as like an opening track to the whole thing. And we just thought that would be kind of a really cool add-on and taking advantage of the, you know, the device that you have in your hand, because the phone can do so much now. And I think that's a really cool memory device, you know, like if you think about down the line, someone giving you one of these mixes and you have an opportunity to hear their voice before some of their favorite songs, like, you know, we've talked a lot today about how much music can evoke different emotions and memories, and just adding that personal touch of somebody's voice, I think is just a really cool thing to tack on there. So just a little additional thing that we had there.
So the other than that, the whole thing's free.
Yes.
Yeah.
My word, that's in what a bargain, you guys. but you know what I appreciate though about that? I like when people create things just, you know, for the service. It's like this is a service, because it's people won't buy things, but someone's like, here's a free service that most people, and I think too, I think you're you know, I don't know who your clientele is. I think anyone can use it, but I think you'll find so much success, and if you haven't already, just in people of our era and back, because we grew up on that. Like, I know people of today don't really know what mixed, you know, I saw someone screenshot and reposted today on Instagram or something. Someone, like this young person, was like, what do you mean by burning a CD? And I was like, oh my gosh, like, you guys. You know what's crazy too? I was just thinking, you know, while we were chatting before, I was just like, just the idea, because, you know, when CD burning was a thing, and that was a whole mix, that was interesting. But back when we did cassettes and those kind of mixtapes, I remember having, when you didn't own the song, and then you had to wait on the radio for it to radio, pop up.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
And it's spending hours.
Yes. Oh my God. That was my earliest memory with a mixtape, actually, was sitting by the radio. I even went so far. So funny enough, I'm like terrified of placing phone calls to strangers. Like, I'm really afraid of using the phone. And I even went so far as calling the local radio station to request songs. Like, that's how badly I wanted these songs on the radio. And then, like, I would request it, hang up, and then I was like, I'm doing nothing for the next like 2 hours because it may come on the radio. And it's like, if I had to take a bathroom break, I'd like call my parents over, my sister, and be like, sit here. If you hear this song, press this button.
Yeah. And just like the idea of having to call a radio station, like, you know, in New York at Z100, I used to listen to, and I was like, hey, I really like to listen to Tub Thumping by Chumbawamba. Just needed this mix. I just need it.
An all-time classic.
It's a good opener. It's a good opener, you guys.
That is a good opener. That's going to get the crowd on your side if you open up that one.
It's like that thing. Yeah. But, oh, gosh. Yeah. But I just, yeah. I think that, you know, people don't, you know, kids don't realize that the struggle it was. You know, I think, you know, music itself has evolved so much that, like, we went from having to do that to, like, going through the Napster period where everything, you know, where you had to, like, where people were just stealing music. And then now this new era, which is, like, the best of both worlds, right? You know, you have things like Spotify, Apple Music, where there is a small fee, but then all the music is there for you. And
I mean,
and that's probably because when we were younger, streaming wasn't even an idea for so many. Like, well, what do you mean? I remember I'd have to, like, when I would go out to school in high school, like, I would just have, like, throw a bunch of CDs in, like, my bag because I didn't know what I'd want to listen to.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is crazy. Yeah, I've got two kids, and it's just wild to see them grow up. And it's like any TV show they want to watch, any song they want to listen to, is just everything is on demand now. You know, and we talked about how it's like you had to kind of sit by the radio and hope they're going to play your song. You had to, yeah, I always say on TV, same thing. It's like if you missed the new episode of whatever, well, you just missed it.
It was really, you had to wait for a rerun.
Yeah, like wait till the summer and you might catch it and get filled in. You know, scenes from last week were vital, right?
Yeah, like, it's like that was last week.
So now, you know, it's wild to see them grow up and just everything is just right there and on demand. Yeah. So it's very different from, you know, assuming we're all about the same age, you know, that when we were growing up, it was a little different.
It's funny too, because I find myself almost, I don't know if you guys share this, if you both share this experience, but it's almost overwhelming now in a way, because, you know, like you load into Spotify, let's say you're a first time user, you've never opened Spotify, which I can't even imagine that anymore, but it's like, here's 100 million songs, like,
oh my God, yeah,
all a click away. And like, you don't even know what to do with that, you know? And I find myself, there's moments where it's like, I really want to listen to this band. No, but I also want to listen to this band. Oh, but this band is like, this would fit my mood. And it's like, I just want to somehow be able to simultaneously listen to like 1,000 songs all at once, but you can really only listen to the one at a time. And it's like, it's sometimes too much. And I think that that's also part of what I really appreciate about mixtapes and mix CDs was it was like, these are your 12 to 20 songs you get, you know? And you play them and you consume them and that's it. Like there isn't the go, you know, double click and keep going and all that kind of stuff to just keep going, which is both, again, it's like a gift, but I sometimes find it really overwhelming.
Well, and that's what some of our guests have told us. They talk about, not only how fun it is, but then they're also like, man, you only gave me 12 songs. Like, this was really hard,
Yeah.
Oh, I had to cut this one. I wasn't sure about this one. So, and that's part of the fun of it too, to, I've had guests text me the night before we're recording and be like, I made a change. I had to include this one instead. It's like, okay, great. Like, we'll adjust on the fly, but it's, yeah, I mean, but again, it's just part of the fun of it all.
Yeah, I'd have to like, gosh, if I had to pick 12 songs, I'd have to like do it. And if there was like a deadline, I would have to just honor that deadline and be like, no, that's it. And then you need to, next time you get a chance to talk about your 12 songs on the list, then you can change it. But like, I can imagine like the anxiety of feeling like I don't actually know that's not it. That song's not it. And the thing too about streaming, when we talk about Spotify and just seeing the one thing you get so much in Spotify is like, well, then if you like this, you'll like this. If you like this, you'll like that. And that's great and all, but so often it's like the idea of that mixtape, it's like, no. I this is this if you like this, you'll like this because this feeds into this for a reason. Like I said before, I'm a director, I'm a writer, so storytelling is so important to me. And so like when building a mixtape or a mix CD, however, back in the day, I used to always like think, well, no, that feeds into this and two artists. And I remember I had a friend of mine who also made mixtapes, and they're like, oh no, like same artists go together. I'm like, what? No, like I don't want to hear them back to back. Like, it's not the voice, it's the message or it's the theme of the song. I remember, do you is it the app, do you get to like label the mix on like the app of what that specific mix is?
You get to title the mix.
I had weird ass titles growing up. I like to
That's
tell
the best part.
That's
you guys,
that is the best part.
literally, like I said earlier, I opened this book of CDs that it's at my mom's house, and I was like, what did I mean by this? What is mute? What's Moody Sounds of the Fall? Like, I don't even know what that means. What was freshman me going through? He made
I
choices.
remember making one for a friend of mine. I titled it Bagels and Feathers. And it's
Oh my
like
gosh.
and there's a great story behind why it's called Bagels and Feathers. But yeah, I think like that's the best part. It's like you capture it was a conversation, and then you put them, put some songs with it and you share it. I love that. I think that's the best part.
Well, and that's where the name of the company came from, interestingly enough, because we were going back and forth about what to call this thing. And I remember a mix CD my brother made me at some point, like growing up, and it was called like Super Awesome Mix Volume One. And he was kind of like joking, right? But he just called it Super Awesome Mix something something. And I was like, that's the name that I kept coming back to that name. And I was like, let's call it Super Awesome
I
Mix.
love that. No, I love Super Awesome Mix. I found in that binder an awesome mix. It wasn't super awesome, it was just awesome. And you can tell, you listen to the songs. I'm like, I put one of like my mom still has a CD player and her radio thing, and I was like, oh yeah, oh. And it's like it's so interesting to see where I was as a freshman or whatever I was in college. I remember I was working at this retail shop in the city, and we used to have CDs and stuff. It was a Broadway store, but also also other stuff. But we listened to a lot of show tunes there, but also, and on the reg on the random occasion you want to listen to something else, you would make a mix or whatever, bring it in. And so there's one guy who worked there who'll never listen to this episode, so he'll never get this shout out. His name is Zach. He would also make, him and I would make a lot of mixes, but he would never label his mixes, and it drove me up a fucking wall. I was like, what's on here? He goes, you just gotta listen to it. I went, no, I just need to know what I'm gonna feel. Like, is it like a moody? Is it awesome? Is it all hype? I'm not sure if you ever listened, if you ever watched that show, How I Met Your Mother, there was an episode where Barney has a CD, and it's all rise, it's no fall, it's all rise. But where does the fall happen? It never falls. A
Never
perfect, it
fall.
just keeps going up.
That one opens with a Bon Jovi song, right?
Yeah, it's You Give Love a Bad Name. So it's
Yeah,
always
yeah.
shot through the heart every time.
I love that. Just keep adding energy on.
Energy on top of energy. Yeah,
It's
that's what
like
they
75 minutes of nonstop energy. It's like I need a
I love
then you
that.
change CDs, then you go down to your
Right,
sleep
right.
mix.
I found a mix like that actually in my own library recently, like an old playlist actually, because I would also, at some point turn the CDs back into playlists, funny enough. And one of them, it was like System of a Down and like Disturbed and Tool and like all these really angry like rock music. And I used to listen to it because it was our amp up music prior to cross country meets. Like we'd be in the bus and someone would, you know, connect to a set of speakers and just like blast this like hard rock, like, you know, metal music. And I was like, yeah, I mean, I guess that did the trick. It's very high energy.
This
We would
doesn't.
bust out of that bus ready to run, like for sure.
It's
So
like
great.
System of a Down. Here we go.
Right.
Let's kick some ass.
Right, exactly.
I felt that way, like when Metallica would play. I was like, oh yeah, this is get your energy up. Metallica's
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
on. Matt had mentioned that, you know, he th there's a lot of Bruce on his mixes. Are there always staples on every mix that you personally create? Is there always like this song is always, or this voice is always on it?
For me, and this all started like back when I started, you know, making mixes for my now wife. Like, you know, she wasn't as familiar with Bruce Springsteen, so for me, I was like trying to get her educated a little bit on The Boss, and so I just kept throwing that on there. But I also kept, you know, Samer made a comment once on a recent show where he was just like, "Yeah, maybe there is a Springsteen song for everything, right?" But yeah, I don't know. I that one I always come back to. I'm trying to think if there's another. I do try to really think about, and maybe this isn't a particular voice, but the opening song is always really important to me. Like which one I start with is the start and the finish. I
It sets
always
the
give a lot
tone. I
of
mean, it
thought
sets the
to. Yeah,
tone.
that's right. That's
Yeah.
right. But I always give a lot of thought to that.
Yeah, I think for me, I don't know if I've used a whole lot of repeat bands. I always try to like be very, yeah, like different with every mix. But if I had to pick one, top of mind would probably be Foo Fighters. Like I just feel like there I could find a Foo Fighters song for everything as well. I love Dave Grohl and everything he does. He's a fun guy to follow. But yeah, I don't think other than that, like so far we've done a pretty good job of really trying to stay diverse and go deep every in our music library with every mix.
So what's the so so what's the process on the show? You pick out a guest, and then do they choose a theme? Do you choose a theme? How does that work?
Yeah, we let them choose the theme. Yeah, they're just like, hey, you know, you got 12 songs, you pick the theme, you know, go for it. Because we don't want to, you know, it's kind of like we talked about earlier. Everybody might be able to come up, may or may not be able to come up with like the 12 favorite songs of all time, right? But if you kind of give them a theme, and we've had a couple authors on the show who have kind of centered around the books they've written,
Oh,
you know,
that's
which is
great.
really cool. They almost created like their own soundtrack to the book, which is really neat. And yeah, for us, it makes it more fun for us because we're not sitting here going, hey, you're gonna, you know, give us your favorite 12 songs about, you know, whatever, fall or something like that. Like they could just pick whatever. And so in that sense, I think that's where people have a lot of fun with it because they get to pick the theme, they get to pick the songs, and it makes for a much more relaxed interview, even for some people who come on the show who may not do that many interviews because they're just telling their stories and their mix. So yeah, they usually send that to us. You know, we asked them to give us at least a few days before, but like I said, we've had some last minute changes in the mixes that we've kind of had to handle on the fly. And then yeah, Samer and I usually at this point we'll just dive right in and start listening to it, but we do it separately. We don't share any notes beforehand. So
I
I never
love
know
that.
what
That's
he's going to
great.
say. He doesn't know what I'm going to say. And we don't know how, you know, what experience each other had on the mix. So, you know, it's hard for me to read that. I mean, I think we both end up liking the mix, but I
Yeah.
think a lot of times it's for different reasons.
Yes. Yeah, I actually think it's funny. We never planned that. It wasn't an intentional thing where we were like, let's both go off in our own corners, not talk about it until we're actually on the recording. But it ended up working out like really nicely because I think then like the conversations are more organic and to the point that we keep coming back to, our experiences are so different. And that is again part of the cool thing. Like Matt can listen to a song and sometimes I'm like, oh, wow, I didn't even think about that. You know, like his comments or his notes on it or our guest notes on that song, I completely missed it, you know, and I'd bring my own like ideas to it. So that's been really fun. But yeah, we definitely didn't plan to do that separate, but I think that that's been such a cool element to it that we kind of stumbled upon. And then other than our guest episodes, we try to alternate where we throw in our own like themed mixes, where it's just Matt and I on the podcast. And those are really fun too, because we'll try to pick something, you know, seasonal. We just had a summer one, Songs of Summer. And that one was also kind of unique because we opened up on our Instagram, we had our followers submit like their top summer songs. Oh. And so as we went through them, like we would give a shout out to like the people who gave us their suggestions. And that was actually really fun because again, you know, you're being brought songs that you would have never thought of. And you kind of get a sense of how they're experiencing and how they think about summer. It's very different than how you might think about it. And so it's really fun. It's been such a rewarding podcast.
And so they send you their mix, and then you listen to it, and then you'll write. I love that. No, that's great. Cause then you also get to the opportunity to just experience it and be able to share how that made you feel. And sometimes it's, you know, it'll be most of the time it'll be completely different.
Yeah. We don't interview the guest ahead of time to kind of get a sense of, well, what are you going to talk about here? What are you going to talk about there? And you know, the guests, we've never had anything controversial on the show from like a song selection standpoint to be like, well, wait a minute, we got to vet this out. Right. Yeah. Everybody generally, you know, they're on there to promote their own stuff anyway. So it's kind of in their best interest to kind of keep it pretty down the middle. But yeah, we don't know what they're going to say. And, you know, for Samer and I, it's been a really interesting exercise. And I'm sure you've experienced this doing the podcast, of having to really focus on listening to someone and be present and not just sort of, well, I wrote down this note 2 days ago and I'm going to get it out come hell or high water, right? Just kind of yeah. Say, well, I wrote down this note, but it's not really relevant to what we're talking about now, you know, and yeah, just yeah. Kind of going with the flow a little bit.
Yeah, I have I have three podcasts, and I love the talk back because it's me and guests that I don't talk to before. Sometimes I know them and there's a bit of a history, but sometimes it's, you know, it's cold, and like my listeners know, as you know when I signed on with you guys, literally we spoke for maybe 30 to 60 seconds and then we pressed record because yeah. I want that to be the experience. Yeah. I have a true crime podcast all about New York centered mysteries, and we do that thing where it's like one of us brings a story and the other one just listens and comments and experience. So we don't share our notes beforehand. We comment in on the space and how that made us feel, what we think. So we don't try to solve a mystery beforehand. We start to do it on the air so that the audience is also experiencing with us. And I felt the same exact kind of connection when I was listening to your episodes, where like a guest would come and we talk about music, and I'm having a reaction to that song live on the, while I'm listening to your show live. I'm like, oh my gosh, like that song that played at this wedding that I went to once. And it's
right,
just really,
right, yeah.
So cool. Just that cool experience. So no, I love the idea of things when things are over rehearsed, it kind of kills, you know, yeah. Because like that first reaction. And I love you said too, you've had guests who are authors. You know, I just finished writing the second draft of my first book I ever wrote. And I get that feeling, right? Like when I'm reading through the notes, like I'm like, ooh, I was listening to a song that put me in this space when I wrote that chapter, because that's what I do sometimes. Sometimes like either if I'm writing a play, if I'm writing my book, if I'm doing something, I'll have music on sometimes because it inspires me or puts me in a place where I need to be. If I'm doing something in a specific era, like I wrote a play that's taking place in the early 90s. And so as I'm writing this, I'm literally just like, I mean, I love 90s music. I think it's one of the best generations of music.
Agreed. Yep.
We didn't deserve the 90s music, but we got it anyway. Such a hip hop renaissance and everything else that came with the grunge and all the things. And so I'm just listening to that and just listening to, and also listening to like year specific songs. Like what was on that, what year? And it just puts you in a weird, cool, amazing place to like, especially when you grew up during that. I mean, growing up in the 90s, like that puts you in a place. It's hard for me to like feel that way about writing about the 60s because I didn't grow up in that era. The songs mean something to me because I've listened to them my whole life. But the actual, I remember when, you know, when The Freshman by Verve Pipe first played on the radio.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, this is an interesting song. And then, you know, years later, I was like, oh, that's what it's about.
Very dark song. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't get it. Yeah. And I was like, when I was like eight when it came out, I didn't understand it. now I'm an adult. I'm like, oh, it's about that and that. Ooh.
I was actually a freshman in college when that song came out. So yeah, it was a whole different experience.
Yeah, I'm not sure when that song came out and how old I was, but I knew I wasn't in college when it came out. I know that much. I was definitely like, oh, I didn't know that's what that was for.
I feel like we're going to have you on with your 90s yes. mix.
Oh my gosh.
I feel like that's coming as a result.
Yeah, I would be legitimately honored to come on and talk 90s. I have a playlist of just like my favorite 90s songs, but like, again, it's like not 75 minutes. So if someone's like 12 songs, you get 75 minutes.
Yeah.
It would be like,
Exercise, yeah.
Give me exercise.
It's really hard. We did a mix recently. It was actually one of my favorites that we've done as just one of ours, like a themed mix. And it was funny. We wanted to do a US, like a July 4th theme one. We didn't just
want to do that.
We didn't just want to do one that was like a patriotic, like America songs. And we were both like, well, let's just pick like songs about US cities and states that either have the title or they tell a story about like a particular place. And again, to the point of us like going off in our own little corners and picking songs, we both arrived at the exact same idea of doing it almost like a road trip.
Yeah, I love that.
How did we move across the U.S. each in our own journeys? And I struggled so hard with that one because I needed to tell California was a big part of mine, Austin was a big part of mine, New York was a big part of mine, and those three like areas. Jeez. There's like thousands of songs. And thousands of really good songs, right? Like,
And bands who are rooted in those places. When you think about California, you get everything from Green Day to the Mamas and Papas. You know, how do I find their
own? Oh my god! Like I my draft playlist I was making in Spotify at the time. I mean, it was just epic. It was hundreds of songs. And I was like, okay, how am I going to get this down to literally six? It's so tough. But again, like the end result is really cool because even if you feel like you could swap a song out, the story you're telling with the one that you picked is still just as important as the story that, you know, a different story you may have told. So it's really cool. Start prepping for your mix. It's definitely coming.
I just wrote myself a note.
We'll give you a due date.
Yeah, we know we need to give you a deadline. And then you're
gonna
get the deadline.
Adam, this is your deadline to send us these 12 songs. But I work best with deadlines because if I got to change it up until the moment, like I'm right now, I'm working at I'm working at a college I worked last year, and I'm teaching my first intro to drama class, and so I have to pick 12 plays, oddly enough, 12.
Nice.
And I keep changing it, and I was like, I literally said, Adam, you have till Monday of this week coming up to finalize your plays, and that's it. You cannot touch it. You need to submit your syllabus, and you call it a day. Because just like you, if you don't give yourself the cutoff, every day you feel different than the day you did before in slightly different ways, and like. Totally. And in this 90s mix, literally, like, one day I'll be like, I don't know, I'm really feeling like, you know, I want a Boyz II Men song, but then do I want to take off the No Doubt song? I don't know.
Right.
So, like, so literally, give me a deadline and I'll come through. If people want to find out more about you, where do they go?
Well, they can find us on social platforms at Super Awesome Mix. We're most active on Instagram, so definitely give us a follow on Instagram, but you can also find us on Twitter and on Facebook at Super Awesome Mix. Where else?
We've got our website, superawesomemix.com. We've got the podcast, Super Awesome Mix. Just search for Super Awesome Mix and you'll stumble upon so much stuff. But we got merchandise. Sammer's wearing one of our hats right now.
Yes.
But yeah, we got a Patreon and we've got more fun stuff coming soon. And it's really just based on all the positive feedback we've gotten from people out there, both from a nostalgia feel like we've talked about today, but also just folks maybe stumbling upon this for the first time and just thinking it's a cool concept. So it's been so much fun for us to put together and we hope to keep it going.
Yeah. And the app is available in the Apple Store.
Yes,
that's right. Yes, in the App Store on your Apple iPhone
and iPad.
Yep. And iPad. Yeah. Yep. You can download the Super Awesome Mix app. Yes.
Well, thank you so much for coming on the show today. It's been so much fun just talking about music, talking about you and your journeys. And, I downloaded the app, so I don't have Apple Music. I have Spotify, but you know, I'll see if I can just do a 14-day trial for Apple Music.
Sure. There you go.
And be sure to check them out on the podcast. I tell you, you guys know I don't have other podcasters on the show unless I actually listen to their show and like their show. So if they're on my show, you know that I listen to it, you know that I like it. So please go check it out. And while you're there, subscribe and rate and review their show. Then subscribe and rate and review the Talkback. Subscribe and rate and review New York Mystery Machine. Subscribe, rate, review Turnbuckle Podcast. So many podcasts, but do it all. Do all the stuff. It's so good stuff. Follow and all that jazz. Thank you so much for coming on today. I look forward to talking 90s music on your show.
Can't wait
It's
either.
Gonna be a
Thank
blast.
You.
Yes, it's gonna happen.
And so for Sam or Matt and myself, I am Adam Mace, and this has been the Talkback. Take care of yourselves and each other.